Imagine a God that is not afraid to ask why. Imagine a God that is not afraid to consider your why. A God that is not afraid to speak directly to the darkness in your life. A God that recognizes and celebrates the potential you have even when you are failing miserably.
That's the Reverend Dennis Patterson, Jr., and today he offers a challenging message of faith called From Dishonest Wealth to Purpose. I'm Peter Wallace. It's day one.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's historic Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thank you, Sherry. Today on Day One, we're delighted to welcome the Reverend Dennis Patterson, Jr., priest in charge of the Episcopal Church of the Holy Cross in Decatur, Georgia. Before coming to Holy Cross in January of 2017, he served as associate priest at St. Luke's Episcopal Church in Atlanta, and before that was rector of St. Cyprian's Episcopal Church in Hampton, Virginia, campus minister at Grace Episcopal Church in Norfolk, and assistant pastor at Centerville Chapel AME Church in Chesapeake. Dennis is a graduate of Norfolk State University and earned his Master of Divinity degree from Union Theological Seminary in New York. He holds a postgraduate diploma in Anglican Studies from Virginia Theological Seminary and completed the American Studies program at St. Edmund's Hall in Oxford, England. Dennis, welcome to Day One.
Thank you, Peter. Glad to be here.
Introduce us to the parish you serve. Who are the people and what are you all up to in the church and in the community?
Well, I'm the priest in charge at Church of the Holy Cross. It's really close to Columbia High School, South Columbia. Mm-hmm. But I have a multicultural congregation. Mm. That's what our vision statement says. And there are people from all walks of life. They're Americans, they're Caribbeans, mm-hmm. African countries, and white, black, all around. And so it's a real unique salad bowl of different cultures, cultures mixed. We're doing good things. On the heels of COVID, mm-hmm. We're trying to get revved up right now. But I think right now what is really thriving is our food ministries. Mm. We have a community garden that we received a grant for prior to COVID. And so we've been doing some feeding in the community and programming around that. Mm-hmm. And so that is our number one ministry right now as we rev back up and to find some, well, if we can find some sense of normalcy
right.
Again.
You mentioned you serve a diverse congregation, but our society and the church are continuing to struggle for racial equality. What do you think the church could do better to bring that about?
Well, I don't know. I think we have the answers to that. Mm. I think that folk need to be more aware of what is going on racially around them. Mm-hmm. We've seen the interviews. We've heard people talk. Racism is here. Mm. It's one of the church's original sins, mm-hmm. And it's been here for a while. I'm not the one now that I'll certainly speak out on it, but mm-hmm. I'm not the one that focuses on that. What I've chosen to do mm-hmm. Is to continue to do what I do. Mm-hmm. And if, folk want to come in and do some things around race and deal with race, then I'll welcome that. Mm-hmm. But I think that the conversation is going to have to stop. We used to highlight the fact that we're having conversations
right.
about it, but that has become we're talking about it, and it just becomes frustrating, and it becomes it's a bit much. Mm-hmm. And so I focus on I'm clearly who I am. And choose to just move forward with that, mm-hmm. And hope that other people can get on. I know God will continue to be with us and work with us, but we just do what we do.
Yeah.
And if you want to be a part of it, then come on and be a part of it.
Mm. Dennis, you are a member of the Board of Trustees of our organization, the Alliance for Christian Media, and we're grateful for that. What do you hope grows out of the work of Day One in the future?
Well, I think I hope that we continue.
Mm.
I hope that the work continues what we have done all along. You know that I'm a fan, and I have been a fan, mm-hmm. not only of preaching, but of mm-hmm. Day One. It has been a resource for me to listen to good preachers, to be able to tune in and to hear the voices that I probably wouldn't mm-hmm. Be able to hear otherwise. And so I hope that continues. I hope that legacy continues, that we can move into the future, finding ways to enhance it.
Mm-hmm.
We were just talking about videos and, mm-hmm. and different things, but to continue to lift up good preaching, mm. the art of preaching, and so I hope that that's, and to give voice to those that mm-hmm. that don't have voices.
Yeah,
I hope that's the goal.
Well, your sermon today is based on the gospel reading for this Sunday from Luke chapter 16, Jesus's parable of the so-called dishonest manager. Some call him shrewd. Would you read it for us?
Then Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as a manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, "And how much do you owe?" He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, "Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in very little is faithful also in much, and whoever is dishonest in very little is dishonest also in much. If, then, you have not been faithful with dishonest wealth, who will entrust you to the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth."
Well, your sermon is entitled "From Dishonest Wealth to Purpose." Dennis, thanks for sharing it with us.
Thank you.
This is Peter Wallace. You know, I started working here more than 21 years ago, and it's still my dream job. I love the Day One ministry with all my heart, and I believe deeply in what we do. I hope you find Day One to be an important part of your faith journey, too. and I hope you will support Day One with a generous donation. As we deal with difficult challenges to continue this ministry, we need your help so we can keep sharing God's hope and love through the powerful preaching of God's Word. So please, mail your gift to Day One, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. Or call us at 404-815-9110 or give securely online at dayone.org. Thank you, and God bless you.
If you're like me, then this parable has blown your mind. It goes against everything that we have learned about what God has expected of us. The victor is the villain. And the truth, it seems the truth has taken a back seat. So the story goes, a rich man was approached by someone who snitched on the manager. He told the rich man that his manager was squandering his property. Wanting to hear it for himself, the rich man approaches the manager and asks him to give an account for his practices. He then fires him on the spot. This manager, not knowing what to do, with his back against the wall and unsure how to move forward, comes up with a plan. He approaches each of his employer's debtors and reduces the debt that they owe in hope of gaining favor with them and others in the future. So not only has this manager potentially stolen from this rich man initially, he doubles down and only collects a percentage of the debt owed. Wow. Surprisingly, instead of taking further punitive action against him, the rich man commends him. He commends the manager for being a shrewd businessman. In an attempt to justify his response, he says, "Make friends for yourself by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into their eternal homes." There is something disturbing and strangely intriguing about this story. Imagine that. Jesus using a story about a dishonest, shrewd businessman being rewarded for his actions. It should be no surprise that from the beginning of time, scholars have argued if such an aberration from his familiar teaching can, in fact, be attributed to Jesus. Certainly it cannot. Or maybe it can. We don't have to study the life of Jesus long to understand the kind of company he kept. The second chapter of Mark says, "When the scribes of the Pharisees saw that he was eating with tax collectors and sinners, they told his disciples, 'He eats with tax collectors and sinners.' He told them, 'Those who are well do not need a physician, rather those that are sick. I do not come to call the righteous, rather I came to call sinners.'" It is not by mistake that Jesus spent most of his time around sinners. You know, the ones trying to get it right. The ones that do not follow what has been deemed normal or satisfactory. You know, those ones that don't fit in to the majority, or they live on the edge or beyond. This shrewd manager definitely fits this description. The fact is that we are not told much about this manager. Only that he has squandered his master's money, and because of it, he faces termination. We should be careful, very careful, not to write anyone off too quickly. It would be easy for the reader to make a judgment onto the life of this man without further examining who he is. To ask the question why. Too often, those in power or those making decisions make decisions aside from any further review. But the question that must be asked is, why? Why was the manager being reckless in this way? Was he having problems at home? Was his relationship in shambles? Had someone close to him died? Was he mistreated, ignored, denied? Or was there something else that contributed to this glitch in judgment? Or was he simply a dishonest thief? But we have to ask the question, why? As children of God and as students of Scripture, at the very least, we owe it to him and ourselves to ask why. I'll call him Johnny. To us, he was just a normal kid. During the day, we played sports together, we rode bikes together, we chased girls together, and all the things that teenage boys do. At night, however, it was a different story. While I went home to a more structured family, Johnny went home to a mother that was on drugs and a little brother that desperately was in need of love and affection. Over time, as his situation became more dire, Johnny turned to selling drugs because he knew that that was the only way to eat. You see, when your back is up against the wall and your life and future depend on your next move, it is very difficult to say what you would do. And for this kid, giving up was not an option. From the outside looking in, it's easy to say, how could he do that? How could he do this to his community? But those of us who knew him, he was a kid that was a victim of his community, motivated by the threat of losing everything that he held dear. As far as he was concerned, his job, his only job, was to take care of his sick mom, to keep a roof over their head, and to avoid social service taking away his little brother. Said another way, and maybe a more familiar way, in line with the scripture, Johnny found himself in a pivotal moment, not sure about his future. He couldn't get a job because he was too young, and he was ashamed to beg. But he needed to do something. So he began to think to himself, this is what I'll do. So he went to these dealers, you see, and made a deal. If you give me this package, I will bring you back double. And they agreed. Package by package by package, he sold out. He thought to himself, if I sell this much, I can take care of my family. I can make sure that they're okay. My future depends on me. That's a shrewd decision, if I've ever seen one. Make friends of yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into their eternal homes. You should know that over time, Johnny figured life out and moved away from the world of drugs that he considered normal into what God knew he was capable of the entire time, all while using what he had learned, being shrewd. Make friends for yourself by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into their eternal homes. Johnny is not the only person to move from victim to purpose. Kids are born into this situation every day, not knowing which way to turn or which choice to make. Sean Carter, better known to the world as Jay-Z, also succumbed to the temptation of the environment in which he was raised. He famously writes, I went from bricks to billboards, from Grams to Grammys, highlighting how the bad choices of his childhood prepared him for the artist and philanthropist and businessman that he is today. And still I hear the scripture, make friends for yourself by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into their eternal homes. If we are honest with ourselves, The world is full of dishonest managers, stuck for whatever reason, trying to figure it out. Dishonest with their families, dishonest with their children, dishonest with their friends, dishonest with God, and yes, even dishonest with themselves. The beauty of this strange and uncommon story in this 16th chapter of Luke is that Jesus understands his audience. He asked the question why. While the example may be foreign to some, it is real to others, especially those with their backs against the wall. He takes into account all people. In this story, Jesus invites us to see our own journeys, and at the same time, the journeys of others. He understands what many of us try to forget, that most of us have made horrible decisions in our lives, and that all have fallen short of the glory of God. Imagine with me for a moment. Imagine a God that is not afraid to ask why. Imagine a God that is not afraid to consider your why. A God that is not afraid to speak directly to the darkness in your life. Imagine a faith that believes that you don't have to end where you started. Imagine a God that recognizes and celebrates the potential you have even when you are failing miserably. Imagine a God that allows room for you to transition from being dishonest to honest. This is our God. There is purpose in each of us, dying to be discovered. And our God is with us while we are trying to figure it out. Little by little, we find our way. We do the best we can with what we have until we know better. And when we know better, as they say, we do better. Howard Thurman, that great author, poet, preacher, teacher, and pastor, when talking about moving from innocence to knowledge, he writes, "But when knowledge comes, the whole world is turned upside down. The meaning of things begin to emerge, and more importantly, the relations between things are seen for the first time. Questions are asked and answers are sought. A strange restlessness comes over the spirit, and the enormity of error moves over the horizon like a vast shadow." End quote. It is under this shadow that we, those who have been overlooked or ignored, it is under this shadow where we bring the gods that we have created before the God that has created us. It is under this shadow that we choose God over wealth, life over death, and integrity over dishonesty. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Our preacher today was the Reverend Dennis D. Patterson, Jr., priest in charge of the Episcopal Church of the Holy Cross in Decatur, Georgia. For a free transcript of his sermon, From Dishonest Wealth to Purpose, call us at 404-815-9110. That's 404-815-9110. Or write to us at Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. This is Peter Wallace. Next week on Day One, we're delighted to welcome the Reverend Dr. David Jordan, senior pastor of First Baptist Church of Decatur, Georgia. His inspiring sermon is called How to Take Hold of Life. Please join us next time on Day One. Now, our Day One preacher, Dennis Patterson Jr., offers some final reflections on his sermon today, From Dishonest Wealth to Purpose. And Dennis, you pointed out that this story Jesus told in Luke 16 blows our minds because it seems to go against everything we've learned about how God wants us to live. The victor is a villain and the truth has taken a back seat, as you put it. Before we get into the story, I wonder if you'd go meta for us and give us some advice about how we should listen to Jesus when he says crazy things like this.
Yeah, I think you should take it for what it is. That's what I had to realize that Jesus is taking into account all people.
Yeah.
That nobody is left out. And so whatever example he uses is an example that can be used for truth and for freedom. And it just so happens in this moment that he's dealing with someone who's struggling a bit, but it's still useful.
Yeah.
It's still workable.
And you explained that Jesus spent most of his time around sinners. That was the company he got in trouble for keeping, and the shrewd manager certainly fits in that company. But you said we need to be careful not to write anyone off too quickly. It's easy for us to judge this man without further examination. And you suggested we ask why the manager was being reckless in this way, because who knows what he was dealing with? That's probably true in our encounters with people in our own lives, too. So how do we keep from judging those who, on the surface, may look like trouble?
I think that's just it.
Yeah.
I think we pull our gavels up and down too quick in society. And I'm guilty of that. I think a lot of us are. We see something, and we don't take into account what that is, you know, the kid that's acting out in school and the coworker that has a bad attitude. When you take the opportunity, or you at least give them the benefit of the doubt and to say, what's going on? Yeah. Why is this happening? Then grace is a bit more easy to give. It's easier to love and to care for those people rather than to judge them and treat them poorly. So I think, just being cognizant that, hey, we all have mess that we deal with, and it comes out in different ways. And it just to be a bit more patient and a bit more caring. It's hard to do, very hard to do. But at the same time, to be knowledgeable and to have knowledge that, yes, this may in fact be a result of something else. I think that's the best we can do.
Yeah. The world is full of dishonest managers for whatever reason, you said. Jesus understands his audience. And in this story, he invites us to see our own journeys and the journeys of others like Johnny and Jay-Z in your sermon. We've all made bad choices, horrible choices at times. So what is Jesus saying to us?
Jesus is saying, I see you.
Yeah.
I think that's the, I see that. And that's why the text is so difficult to deal with. I see you. All of us have been down the road, whether we admit it or not. We've made some dishonest decision. And Jesus is saying, I see you. But Jesus is at the same time saying, this is something that you can come out of. By recognize, by seeing you, it can be transformed. And I think that's the overall message. The power of it is that someone in it, when you read a story that's about you, how transformative that can be. Yeah. And so Jesus sees you, and then not only that, you can be transformed from that.
Dennis Patterson, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on Day One and forever.